Log Talk Radio.
We're coming to you live today with a new and exciting interactive Bible study. This week's discussion will be from the book of John. Now introducing Pastor Philip Mosby.
Unplugged.
Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. What a praise and what a worship. Amen, amen. We're live on the air now. We just thank God for you being a part of this broadcast. We want to start a little bit differently today. We're going to start in the book of John, chapter 21. And we're going to go right into the scripture. And as soon as you get to John chapter 21, I know you'll be there because you will shout amen. 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 I heard two or three people say amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read the chapter in its entirety, and then we're going to come back and we're going to actually just go through each verse. How about this is the last chapter in the book of John? And it's a great chapter, but just wanted to read the thing in its entirety, read the whole thing in its entirety, and then see what God is saying to you. It says, John chapter 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Amen. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat, or have you any food? They answered him and said, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, about 300 feet away, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw five coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. So he gave him bread, and he gave him fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, loveth me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, he saith, I'm sorry, son of Jonas, loveth thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you, or thee. He saith unto him, well, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, well, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walketh whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spoke he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at Simon, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then with this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciples should not die, yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a great chapter in Scripture. And I just want to go back and kind of read it. This is, in fact, the last book or the last chapter in the book of John. And we want to talk about this just relative to what Jesus is saying. I think last week was a great chapter because it talked about the faith of the disciples understanding the resurrection. This week, I think we're going to be talking more about God revealing, or Jesus Christ revealing himself in the earth realm, but he's going to be showing how to restore yourself back in ministry. Amen. How to get restored back to ministry. So it says in chapter 21, verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed himself. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is the Sea of Tiberias is actually the Sea of Galilee. But after these things, I want to talk about that. After these things is exactly what I just talked about. And last week, it was about the resurrection. So this week is a brand new week, and the Bible says that Jesus showed himself. This word showed is another word for reveal. And I like this because I believe that this is kind of an offshoot of the glory of God. See, the glory of God is literally when Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit reveals himself in the earth realm. And it's so important that we understand that God wants to be revealed in the earth realm. But right here we see Jesus showing himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, he showed he himself. So this is the account that Jesus showed himself he showed himself on the Sea of Tiberias. So verse number 2 says, there were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Now, these were the disciples that, in this account, were gathered together with Peter. And now, at this time, Peter was, in fact, he was the leader of the bunch. And it's interesting, when we find Peter here, we understand that Peter, being the leader, we understand that Peter needed himself kind of restored. That's why I call this chapter the great chapter of restoration, that God really, truly wanted to restore these disciples back. They had been beat up because of the crucifixion and all that Jesus went through, and in particular Peter, because Peter literally denied Jesus 3 times. He really wanted to show the disciples that this was time for them to be restored back to ministry. So there were together Simon Peter, there was Thomas called Didymus, there was Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. As I counted, I think there were 7 disciples. So out of 12 disciples, 5 of them were not there. But it's just interesting how they dispersed after the crucifixion, and after Jesus had died and rose, these guys were all scattered again. And it's funny because what we're about to see is, I think, what happens in a lot of the lives of people who get a little bit exhausted with ministry. It says, verse number 3, Simon Peter, who's the leader, saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And these were the other disciples that I just read about in verse number 2. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught absolutely nothing. So it's interesting. Peter was going back into what the business that he was in, and that was fishing. And the other guys decided they were going back. I guess Peter at this time considered himself to be a failure in ministry. You know, a lot of times we go through and it gets rough. And at this time, Peter was, I think he was down on himself. He had denied Jesus 2 or 3 times, and he was in a place where he literally needed to be restored. But I see here that he had actually quit the ministry. He was this going a fishing. If you read this in the Greek, it really means continuous activity. So he wasn't going just back for recreational fishing. He was going back to work. He literally had quit the ministry. This is what I believe had happened to him. And I just think, you know, it gives us pause. Sometimes we feel like we get a little bit tired of well doing is what the Bible calls it, and we find ourselves going back to some things that we had previously done. It's interesting. When we experience failure, we normally go back to that thing where we found proficiency to bolster back up our self-esteem. Amen. And sometimes we are in the face of failure, or what we feel like is failure, we end up going to a place called back to that place of comfort, which is a dangerous place. I love it because of the outcome of what Peter and the disciples, what they came up with. The Bible says they caught absolutely nothing. Now, these were professional fishermen. They caught absolutely nothing. So I believe when you're called to a place of ministry, there's no way that you can walk away and be satisfied. When you're called for real, you're going to get the same results. I think you're going to get results that are going to be empty. Until you get back to that place where God has called you, you'll be catching nothing too. Amen. So when God calls us, literally he wants us to go through the process because God is always doing work. So we find Peter and disciples. We find them a little dejected, a little upset with the ministry, or not with ministry, but with what they how they perceive ministry was after Jesus had died. So we see now they went back to the boat and they caught absolutely nothing. But in verse number 4 it says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. So again, Jesus is talking about the time when this was the time when he showed himself again, where he revealed himself again to the disciples. Well, he stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So they had no clue that this was Jesus. Now, why didn't they know this was Jesus? Again, even like from last week, I really recognized that Jesus had been marred through the process of crucifixion so bad that they couldn't even recognize him. So the disciples didn't know this was Jesus on the shore. So watch this. It says in verse number 5, then Jesus says unto them, children, have you any food, or have you any meat, is what the Bible says, which of course that means food. And they answered him no. Probably for a professional fisherman who had been fishing, to say no, that he was unsuccessful at this, was probably a wake-up call in itself. I love the way that Jesus, though, addressed them. Do you have any food? Children, he called them, because they were his. You know, they were his children in terms of, you know, his nurturing and the way he treated them. They were his children. 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. I love this because this was the second time that I can remember that this exact thing happened, that they were out fishing and they caught nothing. In Luke chapter 5, there's exactly exact same happened, that they were out fishing, but this is when Jesus was of course, with them before the crucifixion. He said, he told them again to cast their net on a certain way, and they caught so many fish. Here we see this same thing happening again. And it said, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And now they see now they are catching everything that they wanted to catch. Now, I thought about this, and it's interesting. Success in God is literally the width of a boat. Sometimes we're so close to victory, we don't even know it. And it's interesting, these disciples, the fish were on the other side of the boat. However, they had to listen to the instructions of God. So you're one instruction from God from getting to the very place that you need to get to in God in terms of success. So for them, it was the width of the boat. I like it because it shows me that how close we are to our blessings usually. Our blessings are usually right around the corner. Really closer than we think. Even when you feel your situation is hopeless, I know that God is doing a incredible work, and I'm telling you, some of you that's about to give up, I'm telling you, you are close to your place of victory. So when I see this, I see the victory in just hearing the voice of God and knowing when God is speaking. Verse number 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, who we know now is John, speaking in third party, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, the leader, it is the Lord. Now, I love this because John was the first one to recognize this was the Lord because he remembered this event. Earlier, I think this is an event he saw earlier. But I think what's more important than that is his love for Jesus Christ. It's amazing. He had an intimacy. He was the most intimate with Jesus. And I think the more intimacy we have with Jesus, the more we're going to recognize his voice. And he was the one who said, "This got to be the Lord." He remembered the situation, and he remembered the Lord showing them how to catch a multitude of fish. Now it says, now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him. And the fisher's coat was, of course, the outer garment that they wore on top of the clothing. And it was a heavy garment. And it's interesting, this is typical Peter. The Bible says he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. In other words, he had off his outer jacket, and he did cast himself into the sea. So he dove into the sea because he was passionate and wanted to go to the shore to see Jesus. I think that's why he dove into the sea. He was just so excited to see Jesus. Verse number 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, which is the equivalent to 300 feet, and they were dragging the net with these fishes. So they had all these fish. It took a bunch of them to bring all the fish in. I like this because I believe this is likened unto us winning souls, because he told Peter that he would be a fisher of men. He's going to make him a fisher of men. But verse number 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. I see so much symbolism in this verse and the verse ahead. I wrote down some things that I thought was very interesting that Jesus was trying to train them. I think this was a classroom for Jesus. And what Jesus was doing, he had these props. Having these coals of fire, let me read them. It said, the first one I got is, we see even Peter literally jumping back into the water. Isn't it interesting when we found Jesus or Peter the first time, when Jesus told him to jump in the water, he was always the first one to jump in to faith. Peter was always that first one to take a chance on the things of God, and it makes me feel good to see that now, even here, we see Peter actually now jumping in first. He walked in first. So God is literally speaking to Peter in this wise, and these were the symbolic things he was telling Peter, or showing Peter, or the props he used in the classroom as he's telling Peter, it's time for you to be restored back to ministry. So that was one of the things. How about the fish and the loaves? So he fed them bread and fish again. So I see this now, and all of these things, I believe Peter and the disciples, they were remembering. These were the things that Jesus told us while he was with us. And now he's just reconfirming the things that he needed us to know. Actually, he was building their faith and telling them, why don't you get back into the flow of ministry, amen? So it was the fish and the bread and the coals. The reason why I thought the coals were interesting, the coals of fire, because Peter, when he denied Jesus, he was literally at the can, and it had fire coming out of it. These were the coals of fire, I can remember, when he denied Jesus Christ. So was this not a great teaching for Peter and a great encouragement for him to get back into ministry? I think what Jesus was saying, though you denied me, three times, though you guys all got scattered, I'm telling you, it's time to get back into ministry. Amen? So he was literally encouraging them to get back with these props that he was using. I call it in his classroom. Jesus was always taking out time to teach. So verse number 9 says, and as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring up the fish which you have now caught. And check this out. Watch this. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fish. These were big fish. And 153. There were 153 fish that he caught. I tried to come up with some symbol, what the symbol was for 153. Couldn't find anything. I just believe it was just the blessing that God brings when you're in the place that God wants you to be. And it says, so Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153 fish were there, and for all there were so many, yet not the net was broken. So it was perfect for what the net could bring in. So I believe God gives you just what you need in terms of what he's trying to do. 12, and Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples asked him, who art thou? Why? Because they knew that it was the Lord. Why? They had seen all these things before. All these symbols, all these things of class, the classroom, all these props in the classroom, they had seen them before. And so they knew now this was God teaching them and telling them it's time for ministry again. And it's interesting what he says here in verse number 13. Jesus then cometh, he taketh bread, and he fed them. He gave them the bread, and fish likewise. So Jesus fed them. What I think about this is, before the disciples could go and feed others, they first have to be fed themselves. And isn't that so true for our walking? When we go out to literally give the word of God out, we need to be fed first. A lot of us, I think, maybe go out before we've been fed, before we have full understanding and knowledge of the word. We want to give somebody else the word. Be fed, and then go feed. Amen. So it says, 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, giveth to them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed. There goes that word showed again, or revealed himself. And anytime you see the revealing of Jesus in the earth realm, this is God's glory. And this is exactly what God wants us to do, is bring about his glory into the earth realm. And that's just to reveal who Jesus is. Now, this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. And I want you to keep your mind after we're off the air. I'm going to ask somebody, because I want you to be able to tell me the three times that Jesus showed himself to these disciples. Amen. After that, he was risen from the dead. So this was the third time after he was risen from the dead that he showed himself to the disciples. So when they had dined, verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon, and this is a very familiar track of scripture, he said to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And I got to thinking about what these were. Could have been the fish, the nets. Was it? What was he talking about? What was these in this scripture? I remember when I was in high school, my English teacher, Miss Penn, would call this a dangling participle. We don't know what it referred to. Amen? But I like it because God gives us the idea that this is something he's pointing at that we need to really pay attention to. I think that these were the other disciples. Do you love me more than these disciples? And I think he was literally about to teach them about his love for Jesus, because I think now he had forgotten about ministry and he was all into some other things. So he said, do you love me more than these? And he saith unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. He saith unto him, well, then feed my lambs. If you love me, you'll feed my lambs. This is one thing I know. When we display the love we have for Jesus Christ, the indication that we are showing our love is when we're feeding his lamb, when we're showing care to his people. Amen. The more we show care to his people, the more we're showing that we love Jesus. Amen. So he said, feed my lamb. And I'll talk about that next. 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? So he's asking him a second time. And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, well, feed my sheep. So I want to talk about two things here. The first thing I want to talk about is the love that Jesus is talking about is agape. When he said, do you love me? It's an agape love. This is an unconditional, I'm talking about a love that comes from God. He said, do you love me? And Peter always answered him, I phileo you. I love you, but it's phileo type love. Amen? So this phileo type love is brotherly love. It was a lesser love than the love that God literally was asking him, do you love me? He says, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditional? He says, yes, I have a brotherly love for you. And he says, then feed my sheep. This time, he's saying, do you love me? And he says, if you love me then, Peter, I need for you to feed my sheep. What's the difference between lamb and sheep? I wanted to know this. Well, the difference is a lamb is a baby sheep. So he's saying, not just feed the adults, but feed the children too. In other words, he was saying, feed everybody. If you love me, you'll feed everybody. Amen? Verse number 17, and he said to him a third time, and by this time, Simon is almost frustrated. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved. He was upset because he said it to him a third time. He got a little bit worn out about Jesus continuing to ask the question, but I'm going to go back and we're going to talk about this. He says, lovest thou me, Peter? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, well, if you love me, feed my sheep. I think this third time, I think Peter was being honest. He didn't know how to agape Jesus. He had to develop into that agape. One thing we understand about Peter was he was really real in his emotions. So I really believe he was telling Jesus, I love you with a brotherly love. This third time, Jesus, when he asked, do you love me? He asked, do you phileo me? So Jesus understanding Peter and his heart, he said, well, do you phileo? Do you brotherly love me? You know I do, Jesus. You know I do. I've been telling you I do. Well, Jesus said, if you do, go and feed my sheep. How about, man, my time is up now, and we always love coming before you with the word of God, but I'm asking you, every week come at this time, the same time, and we will continue to give you We will continue to give you the very scriptures that we are reading. We're going line upon line. So we're going to let our radio audience, we're going to release our radio audience, but we're going to stay live on on stream. So we actually, the computer told me it's 8 o'clock. So now we're into our television streaming. Now I want to break it down like we normally do, and I want now the studio audience. Now it's interaction time. Now you can interact with the scripture. Are there any questions relative to the scripture so far? If you got questions, I want you now to start to ask the questions. Anybody got questions as far as we've spoken yet? Amen. Nobody's got questions. Amen. No one has questions.